It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pizza, South Philly. Jordan Mailata show at 6 here at Chickies on Packer Ave and the Players Lounge at 7. Joining us now, as he does every Monday at 4, Donovan McNabb. Donovan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Big Five. What's up, brother?
What's happening? New life. Let's go.
So,
okay, flush it.
Do you think it was a mistake for the Eagles not to play their starters yesterday?
I said it last week that I felt like they should have played at least the first half of the game.
Yep.
And obviously what we had understood and knew by when the game was going on of just the magnitude of it, that should have been telling of right there. If you want home field advantage, you know, pretty much throughout the playoffs and until the NFC Championship possibly, then you do what you're supposed to do. I mean, we don't have guys that are banged up and, you know, kind of on the verge of possibly, you know, playing or not playing or whatever it may be. I mean, I know that Jalen Carter was a guy that came back for the Buffalo game, and, yeah, you might want to decide to rest him, but we should have played our starters definitely in that first half of the playoff. I mean, the first half of that game, especially offensively, because we haven't established ourselves offensively to be able to just sit out and think everything's going to be cleaned up.
Can you speak to, as a guy who has played and won a lot of playoff games, can you speak to the difference between playing a playoff game at home and having to play a playoff game on the road?
Well, you have your own fans there, and the adrenaline that we all feed off of from our fans is special. And, you know, who doesn't want to, you know, play in their own stadium come playoff time all throughout the playoffs? And I think that was something that we all understood as players with Andy established that, hey, our goals were, number one, to obviously win the division. Two is to get a first-round bye. And then three was to represent home field advantage at our facility. And so if that's not part of your goals, then what are we doing? And so I just think for Nick, Nick's in a position right now where I think he understands the backlash of it, and he's just trying to stand strong on, you know, kind of what he decided to do. But I think if he had a chance to do it all over again, he would play his player.
I know the game ultimately doesn't matter moving forward. They're going to play San Francisco coming up Sunday. But I love your thoughts on what did you think about Tanner and how he played out there yesterday?
I thought he did some good things. I know that the fans were asking for him to play during the middle of the season because they felt like it was, you know, Jalen that was holding us back or whatever it may be. But I didn't see anything that wowed me. I thought he was in a position where he made some plays when he was called upon, some mistakes that he made that I'm sure he would love to have back. But I seen a guy that was prepared, and he was just, you know, excited for the moment. Now, what did that look like? I mean, obviously we didn't win the game and, you know, a lot of key factors into that. But, I give him a lot of credit for being in this position and being called upon to step in there. I was glad to see that Devontae got his 1,000-yard receiving. You put Devontae out there and don't have all his guys out there kind of was a little questioning to me. So I just give credit to all the guys that played. And those guys who sat out, it's time to step up. Because believe me, San Francisco's not going to be an easy task from what they've been able to do offensively. At this particular point defensively, I don't know if their middle linebacker will be back. I've heard rumblings that he possibly will be back for this game. And I'm sure Kittle's and as well as Trent will be back as well. So they're coming in this thing fully loaded, and we have to be as well.
Donovan, Ike, I thought, made a good point earlier, and you're saying that now, too, is it's up to the Eagles now, the players, to make the decision from the team to not play them look good. You know, one of the only argument I think you could make is the offensive line, and I agree with you that they should have played. The offensive line has been has just not been as effective, and I think part of that has to be, you know, what they had to go through last year, and that you hope that giving them this week off can give a little bit of juice to an offensive line that has just not been nearly as good as they have been in past years.
Well, there's ways of looking at it. And for a coach's standpoint, I'm sure he'll say, hey, one week won't get it better from what it is. But they'll have a chance to be able to get things corrected by sitting back and being able to practice on it an extra week or whatever it may be. But from a player standpoint, Ike's absolutely right. I mean, it's time for them to put up a shut up because you can either make your coach right or make your coach be wrong. And so if they don't play well in this first game, if San Francisco comes out, you know, blazing, then that's going to make all the decisions that he's made up until this particular point this season look like the wrong decision. And so for all coaches on the staff, for all the players, this is their time to be able to, you know, defend their coach and do it the right way and be able to establish themselves, you know, as a playoff team. And I think for the football team that I've seen thus far. Remember, I kind of referred to them as being kind of like the Giants when Eli got on his run in the playoffs. They weren't very good from different standpoints throughout the season, if it was offensively or special teams or defense. But when he got in the playoffs, they were able to put things together. And I think that can actually happen for us this playoff run.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this matchup. I kind of like the matchup against San Francisco. Because it is at home and we got the defense that we have. How do you view this matchup and how we're playing right now compared to what the 49ers look like right now?
Well, how we playing right now? Defensively, I like the matchup. I think this is going to be one of those matchups I think that's going to be really big for Adore Jackson. He's got to step up. Because I think what you're going to start to see is you're going to see Kittles and you know and their wide receiving core trying to pressure the number two and three defensive backs as well as the linebackers and safeties. And so they're going to have to cover. And so that what does that mean? That means Cooper DeJean is going to have to play big on the inside, and Adore Jackson is going to have to play big outside because we know what Mitchell is going to bring to it. But what Kyle Shanahan does is he attacks your number two and three. And so, and then he's going to attack your linebackers. And so with him saying that, because Christian McCaffrey becomes such a major part in the passing game, the middle of the football field has to be protected. And so that's something that I think defensively they're going to have the challenges with. Now, as far as our offense is concerned, the thing that has been kind of their Achilles heel ever since their linebacker went out was their run defense. And we haven't been running the football effectively. And so will this be the game that we all of a sudden get things kind of changed up to be able to open up the holes for Saquon and take the run through and be able to explode for explosive plays? And then another thing that I think works in our favor if we do it right and we get things cleaned up is they don't create a lot of pass rush from San Francisco. That's something that they've struggled with this year ever since Bosa got hurt. Once Bosa got hurt, they haven't had consistent pass rush. So our passing game, at least we'll have time, but we just have to be able to get open on the back end.
Which team do you think has the better quarterback?
Well, obviously I'm a defend our guy, Jalen.
I'm asking for your objective analysis, though.
Well, I will say this, and I think when it comes to consistent playoff play, I'm going to go with Jalen and what he brings to the table with his legs. But I will say this, that Purdy Brock has brought a different facet to the game that we haven't seen consistently over the years, and that's his ability to be able to create with his legs. And I think that's something that our defense can't turn their back on when he gets outside the pocket on bootlegs and half rows, because he will pick up 10 to 12 yards with his legs. And now that kind of adds where those interior part of the defense now got to come to try to stop rocking, and then he'll be able to hit over the top. But I just think with the experience that we have over the last couple of years, I'll give Jalen the advantage.
I think it's an interesting matchup of Shanahan versus Fangio as well. Because Shanahan, you know, has been able to be successful with a lot of different quarterbacks there in San Francisco. And Fangio, of course, that one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the NFL. And I think the matchup of those two guys is a really interesting chess match between those two.
I wouldn't say it's more of that, those two. I would say more of the defensive coordinator and our offensive coordinator.
So Sala versus Petula.
I would say Sala and Petula. I would say Kyle, because Kyle's going to come up with creative opportunities for Brock to be successful.
Yeah.
And if Vic decides to play that zone defense, it works. It kind of almost works in that favor. I've been in that offense when Kyle's running, and if you're just going to sit and play zone, he's just going to dink and dunk you to death to be able to create over the top. It's more Robert Saleh versus Kevin Petula, because we got to find ways to motion and shift to get guys in creative mismatches so that now we can attack them.
All right, Donovan, one last question, a general NFL question, because it has been hotly debated across the country. Who do you think is the NFL MVP this year? You know, it was Stafford was the favorite for a while. Then after last week, May became the favorite. Now Stafford is the favorite again. If you had a vote, who would you vote for?
Be honest with you, I mean, I would pick Drake May. And I love what Matthew Stafford has done with 40-plus touchdowns and really getting those guys going over there. But you got a quarterback that's in his second season, has made probably the biggest jump of a lot of different quarterbacks that have played over the years. Number two, they won that division. Who would have thought that they would have been in this position at this particular point with Josh Allen in that division?
Sure.
Now,
yep.
we can say Matthew Stafford has done great job over there statistically, but they didn't win that division. Seattle won that division, and Seattle beat them, and so did San Fran. And so it's a lot of key factors that go into it. I think a lot of people get happy about the numbers or whatever, but you got to give a lot of credit to the young quarterback out of New England. Drake May has done a wonderful job all season.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a close vote. It'll be interesting to see who ends up winning it. Yep.
It should be.
Well, Donovan, thanks as always. Hopefully when we're talking to you on Monday, we're not doing the eulogy for the season. Hopefully we're talking about the next game. So,
first of all, I haven't heard Ike with one question. I mean, did he get his coffee? I mean, what's going on?
No, I'm good.
Listen, got two questions.
You answered. You got on me getting the sexy voice last week.
Yeah.
I ain't heard you at all.
But you answered with so much depth. You basically didn't need to ask any more questions. You gave full answers. I didn't know what else to ask.
I had to give you a little bit more. Last week, last week I was getting my nails done, so I can't be talking loud in the nail salon.
Is that what was happening?
Full disclosure.
Oh, that is so good.
And toward the end, I was out of there, so that's when I gave you all the good stuff. But, you know, I was just finishing up getting my nails done, you know.
That's awesome. As soon as we start comparing you and Roxy, that's when you knew you needed to get up out of the nail salon.
Nail salon then, yeah. You know.
All right, Donovan.
That's awesome.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Roxy.
All right, no problem.
All right, there he is, Donovan. That is the mystery finally solved. What was Donovan up to last week?
We knew he was up to something.
I thought he was in a library.
Didn't expect nail salon.
I did not. That didn't cross my mind.
Not at all.
Have you guys ever had manicure and pedicure?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
You've had both?
Oh, yeah.
Jack Cesaro, yeah.
No shot.
I had both. I didn't like the pedicure. I'm ticklish. The manicure I like. The pedicure, I couldn't do again.
I had to do the pedicure when I was a player, man.
Oh, yeah?
Man, you get a little older. Your feet, man. You got to get them right, man. Yeah. Being out there on them cleats and everything, man. You got to get that done. I used to go every other Friday.
Really?
Yeah, just give them manicure and pedicures every other Friday.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Funny thing that happened.
I used to, yeah.
My brother and I go to get the manicure and pedicure. They're finished.
Your dad used to go right over there and get a manicure.
My dad did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He always had shiny nails. Yep. So it's the end of the pedicure, and she looks up, and she's like, do you want nail polish?
No polish, no.
And I said, yes. And
of
she
course
said,
yep.
She said,
it's our fearless leader.
She said, what color? And I said, pink.
Pink.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get home, and, you know, I'm a real pain in the ass as a husband. I think I'm a good husband.
No, we would have never guessed
but
that.
But I'm a pain in the ass.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's always
you
a bit.
You won't even let her watch TV in the bed.
It's room. Always a bit. That's a good
well,
decision.
Well, that's a good idea. No, it's one TV only in our house.
And it's very rare that Val is like, this is over the line. I don't like this. There's only been two times in our life where she's like, don't ever do that again. The one time was when I wear footy pajamas. I wore the one-piece footy pajamas. She said, I don't like this at all.
At all.
Do not do this.
Yeah.
when I came home with the pink toenail polish, she was disgusted with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
She wanted no part of it. She didn't think it was funny. She nah. wasn't laughing. And she doesn't get mad at me very often. Nah. And I'm, again.
She thought she had lost you.
Yeah.
What now, the hell?
Now, in her defense, I mean, she. It's not like she married a guy's guy.
No, that's my whole point. It's like, look
at me.
Who
do you think you married?
Yeah, I'm ridiculous. But
you can't be a metrosexual, though.
Well, look, I just thought it was funny for the bit. If
sure.
I'm going to go through the pedicure, you're going to ask me if I went in nail polish.
Listen.
The answer is going to be yes. The problem is, it doesn't come off very easily, and she was not willing to dip my little toesies in the tail in the nail polish
on,
remover.
Man.
Thinks I was stuck for 2 weeks.
I'm
you
out.
Know,
yeah, I'm out on that. No polish, no polish.
I learned a lesson.
Just get them. Just get your cuticles pushed back. Get your nails clean. Get them trimmed down.
Yeah. The toenail
you know,
polish.
Do the feet right because I'm a footsie guy in bed. So
nice.
Oh yeah.
The wife, I don't need to feel like she's rubbing up against sandpaper.
Right
in the bed, so yeah, keep your feet right and soft. Make sure you put lotion on. Spike, you sleep fully dressed.
I do. I do two hoodies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We went for a walk yesterday with the dogs. I'm only wearing a jacket and a t-shirt, and she looks at me and she said, "You get into bed wearing sweatpants, two hoodies, and a winter hat, and we're out here. It's 25 degrees.
Dress more inside than outside."
I forgot that Donovan was in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yeah.
In 2010.
With Mike Shanahan, yep.
Oh, he was.
Oh, he was with Sean McVay. All those guys were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Yeah. Kristen in Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Kristen?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great, Kristen.
What's
how
up,
are
Kristen?
You?
I'm doing good. I just had something to say. So when it comes down to both Jalen Hurts and Shannon McKee, there is no comparison because Jalen Hurts was developed to be who he is today by the age of 3. Shannon McKee developed this in high school. So, like, there is no comparison. Now, when it comes down to resting the starters, at first I was like, they should have started them either half the game or at least in the fourth quarter, because the fourth quarter, we were dying, like, you know. And then also I wanted to say that Tyreek Hill looked out at, when he was out there yesterday, right, in that middle of the game, before the second half, it was like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo running from the goose. And Jalen Hurts would have never looked like that. Jalen Hurts would have took that team with the backup. It would have been him and Tank Bigsby show, okay? And he ran for, like, a whole bunch of first downs. And
let her cook, let her
cook. Bigsby, yes. And Tank Bigsby would have made all the rushing touchdowns. But he definitely didn't hurt us. He's developed better. And I understand you have a right to disagree. That's fine. But I'm keeping it real. It's true. For
that's
everybody
right.
to sit there and think that he should have been take Jalen Hurts' place in the middle of the season – okay, we wouldn't even made it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. To even look at how Tyreek Hill played yesterday, even with the starters,
they would have made playoffs.
They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Last season, right? We almost lost that game with the Cowboys, but we won the game at the end. Because remember, every time Jalen Hurts don't play, we lose.
That's not true.
That's actually not true.
Yes, it is.
No,
every
it's not.
Jalen Hurts do not play.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
They beat the Cowboys 41-7 last year.
Yeah.
Yes,
it is provably untrue. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Jets. No, Kristen.
Wrong.
Hush.
Big stats,
Kristen. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Giants. And if
freaking Devontae.
If Devontae catches the ball, they beat the Commanders, too. Like, look, and I
look at the point she's making.
Obviously, I think Jalen should be the starting quarterback of the Eagles. But your supposition that if Jalen was in there yesterday, all of a sudden the offense would have looked good. Jalen played with the starting offensive line, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. The offense hasn't looked good all year. So why would it look good?
Jalen Hurts would have won that game because he'd have ran for first downs, which Tyreek Hill didn't do. Tyreek Hill did not run. I thought he was going to run for the first down, and he didn't. So it is what it is. He had legs. He could have ran for the first down. The first down was right there. But instead, he threw the ball out of bounds. So let's be real.
That's right.
Jalen Hurts would have won that game.
Let's be real. They've averaged 23 points a game with Jalen Hurts. Let's be real. They scored. No. How many points they score against the Lions with Jalen Hurts? How many points did they score against? How many points did they score against the Lions? The Packers with Jalen Hurts, huh? How many points?
More than 21 points.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They scored 13 and 10.
Do you think Tanner could have completed a pass in the second half against the Bills?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait a minute. What about when they scored against the Cowboys? They had 21 right. points before the Cowboys.
He blew a 21-point lead against the Cowboys.
Hang in there, Christian.
21 points the whole season. What are you talking about, sir? Get your math right, sir.
What do you mean, what am I talking about? They averaged 23 points a game with Jalen. 23 points a game. 23 points a game with Jalen. 23 points. No, you get your math right. You get your math right. Get your math right. You said they don't win when Jalen doesn't play. That is provably false.
Get your math right.
It is provably false. You, sir. Ma'am, 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 ma'am. All right. Happy New Year, Christian.
Good job, Christian.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy New Year. God bless. There she is.
She's back down.
No, she did not.
20th in points per game this year.
Don't let facts get in the way.
Yeah,
you
come
knew,
on.
You knew where she was coming from.
Oh, I knew. Kristen, caller of the day. If we had a caller of the day award.
Her and Chuck, man.
Yeah. And I know
the guy who had other fake stats earlier.
Yes.
He wasn't
was
even close.
Yes. Both things he said was wrong.
Well,
both
yeah. Things,
yeah.
And
yeah.
If people are like, oh, Jack, Spike, haters, blah, 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 blah. We corrected that guy.
Yeah.
All we do is tell the truth.
Yes.
That we had to correct Kristen.
Yeah, it's facts. All I want to talk about is facts.
They would have made the playoffs with Tanner this year.
That's not a fact.
I mean, they probably would have won the NFC East.
Yeah,
they would have been. It would have been tough to not win the NFC East.
Exactly right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Just start with me. It's a one seed difference. 4-3. They still probably would have been the 3 seed. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still probably the 3 seed.
Well, they would have finished with more than 8 wins.
8 wins, yeah. So they still probably would have been the 3 seed. So everything would have been the same. All right. 215-592-9494. Man, Kristen, an all-star. I hope she calls back more.
Yes.
Coming up next, there's a situation in Philadelphia.
That was one of those calls where she's not a regular caller, but she got fed up.
Yes.
She got fed up with hearing about how Tanner would have done Jalen's job.
Yep. She's been fed up for weeks. And Buzz, I'm sure Buzz usually does a very bad job of potting down the callers.
Yeah.
But leaving her up was the correct decision.
Yes.
Letting us yell over each other was the correct decision there. All right, 205-592-9494. Coming up next, a situation in Philadelphia sports we are monitoring.
Yeah.
A situation that we are monitoring. Uh-oh. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You can catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. That is Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Here we are in the new year. You make your resolutions for you. Make a better you, right? Oh, you're going to be healthier. You're not going to eat this. You're not going to drink that. You're going to work out. Well, do the same thing for your pets, right? Your pets can't make New Year's resolutions, so you have to do it for them. That is what the lead dog, George Perrini, at Dogs and Cats Rule feels. That is what the staff at Dogs and Cats Rule feels. And that's for you to do. So, you know, when you're thinking about the health of your pets, whether it is a skin or coat issue, whether your pet is a little too heavy, you know, a little too weight, maybe a lot of licking and biting of their paws. Rebel licks the paws all, you know, certain times of the year. Dogs and Cats Rule can help the solution. Whether it is a change in diet, sometimes that helps. It helps allergies. Whether it's a supplement, they can help you with that as well. And the great thing about Dogs and Cats Rule is, you'll walk in there, you'll see all these great products. I mean, they have the top-of-the-line products, but the staff that can tell you is what is exactly right for your pet. They will take the time, they have the knowledge, they have the patience. 7 locations of Dogs and Cats Rule. They can all take care of you the same way. 2 in Jersey, Pennington and Princeton. 5 in Pennsylvania, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell. DogsandCatsRule.pet is the website. Dogs and Cats Rule, shop small, shop local, shop family. Oh, there we go. Mr. Jones and me stare at the beautiful women. I don't think no, she's looking at me. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That is your 4:30 90s. Counting Crows, Mr. Jones. I could tell that was coming when Jack watched the Counting Crows documentary this weekend.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Pretty good. I was a Counting Crows man back in the day.
Well, I mean, who isn't a Counting Crows man on some level?
They got mocked there for a little bit.
Well, everyone who gets popular gets mocked.
Yeah.
So There has only been one other player besides Jalix Hunt in the Super Bowl era to not tie, to lead their team in both categories, sacks and interceptions. That is Sean Springs for the 04 Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Now,
a corner led the team in sacks?
There you go. Had six sacks and five interceptions, and Jalix Hunt, 6.5 sacks and 3 interceptions. Now, there have been a few players who have tied for the lead in both categories. Lawrence Timmons in 2012 did it for the Steelers. Junior Seau did it once in 97. Joey Porter and Adalius Thomas and Jason Taylor. Wow. So they all didn't have the solo lead. They tied one of the categories or the others. But Jalix Hunt, only the second player in Super Bowl era history to actually lead their team in both sacks and interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been outstanding. He's on that little run that we saw Nolan Smith on the second half of last season, where he just seems to be around the football all the time, around the quarterback all the time. And he's dropping back in coverage. And it actually looks like he knows what he's doing when he dropped back in coverage.
Was a safety.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, listen, that's one of those players that will be lauding Howie Roseman for years to come, that they found this kid. You know, not only did they find him in the third round, I still don't know what school he went to.
Houston Baptist.
Yeah, I still don't know where that is.
And Colgate before that.
Yeah, Cornell.
Cornell. I always say Colgate.
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, this kid has been an outstanding player and is going to – Jalix Hunt, even though it's just his second year, when you get a player like that doing what he's doing, that makes – making what seemingly could be a tough decision easier because you have him.
With a different player.
Yes, with a different player.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
Do you pay Jalen Phillips to come back here next year?
Or do you pay Nolan Smith? Or do you pay
Nolan Smith? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, and that's what you're looking at. You got him for another couple years. Well, since he was not a first-round pick, he's going to be eligible for a new contract after next year.
Right. The first deal he signs is a 4-year deal.
Yes.
Instead of a 5-year deal.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And you made that point there about the interceptions. When you think about an edge getting interceptions, a lot of the times it's tipped or, you know, it's thrown right to you. That interception yesterday was a guy that played secondary.
Yeah, he made a play on the ball.
Yeah. I mean, that was a real interception, you know. He's a player, man. Jalix Hunt is a player. What a draft pick he's going to end up being. You know, for him to have the most pressures and the most sacks on the team, that's a crazy thing.
It's about putting him next to Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis.
Yep.
You know, if they do decide to bring Jalen Phillips back, it wouldn't shock me because that's a position they spend money on. But what do you do?
Yeah.
I would bring Jalen Phillips back.
Yeah, well, it depends on the market. Like, if somebody's going to pay him, you know.
And I don't think they will unless he has a crazy run here in the postseason.
Yeah,
think he's getting a ridiculous contract.
When he first got here, it looked like he was going to get that sort of contract. Those first two games hasn't looked like that, you know, since. But hasn't been hurt either, which is good too.
Yep.
So we mentioned
5'8". I mean, that's all we do is produce.
It's incredible.
Yeah, besides Jarnard Avery and.
Well, yeah.
We had a little downgrade. It's been brought back.
Yes.
I mean, Cole.
I mean, Trent Reeves. Cole, yeah. Trent Cole's your all-time sack leader.
Yeah. Wait till Jalix Hunt gets
back. Jalix Hunt, officially my favorite player on the Eagles.
Right.
You do love your obscure.
I do.
Mostly obscure.
And he had a good interview with us at first.
Yeah. He did
say big pimping to Howie, which is good to me. Has a great, you know, seems to have a great personality, which I like.
I've listened to him on the mic'd ups. Well, he seems like he got a good personality.
Oh, at 58 sort of, trying to find the cameras and the mic'd ups?
Yeah.
where have we seen that before?
Yes.
There he is again.
Good point. It's worked out well for
him. It has. It was a smart move.
About 11 years when Jack and Jalix take over the afternoon show.
Right. Jack and Jalix?
Jack and Jalix.
Dude, that's not a bad name.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Put Jalix name first.
Yeah, Jalix and Jack.
We'll see how his career goes.
We'll see how your career goes.
Wow.
All right. I mentioned I mentioned a few minutes ago, there was a situation in Philadelphia, sports-wise, that we are monitoring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jack brought it up to me on the phone earlier today. And to be quite honest with you, I don't even want to be monitoring it publicly because it feels like a potential jinx.
Mm-mm.
So Sixers start this five-game road trip very poorly with a loss to the Nets, which was disgusting.
That's almost unheard of.
They lost to the Nets?
Yeah.
Yes.
Disgusting loss to the Nets.
I did not watch that game.
And then a loss to the Bulls, which wasn't quite as disgusting.
Yeah. They blew that lead, right?
That's the one they blew at the end.
Yeah. Then they beat the Grizzlies. Okay, whatever. They play one of their best games of the year in Dallas against the Mavericks. Offensively, one of the best games of the year. And then go to Madison Square Garden and beat the Knicks again. And
solid win.
And the thing that is notable about it is that the young guys are playing great. You know, VJ Edgecombe is playing great. I mean, unreal big shots against both the Mavericks and the hit the game winner against the Grizzlies at Madison Square Garden, hitting big shots down the stretch.
Yes.
But the thing that makes it the most compelling is they're doing it with Embiid and George. And Embiid is looking sort of light on his feet.
Pretty spry.
By Embiid standards. And
as soon as he started doubting him, by the way.
I know. That's why I'm still going to continue to doubt him. And he's not like, I would say, the Dallas and New York games. The reason they were specifically notable offensively is that Embiid has been a part of the offense, but he hasn't been a slow it down and get it to Joel part of the offense. He has moved the ball well. It's not like he's been scoring 38. You know, I think he had 22 against the Mavericks and 26 or 28 against the Knicks. He's moving the ball. You know,
what was that pass on Saturday? Guy went back door. It was beautiful.
Oh yeah. Well, he does. He's thrown it to. I think he got guys who
Hold
cut
on.
Now.
What's that face for?
Yeah.
You don't think I started to talk backdoor cuts?
Well, is Barlow
a little Princeton offense?
Barlow makes great. You know, makes great. I don't know it.
That Ike face was so fun.
You can't watch these games and not get a little tingle.
Yeah, it's kind of moving.
A little tingle.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to work at not
going
overboard.
Yes.
It's an art, man. I'm telling you, it's an art. So here's what I've done.
Yeah.
And I know it's harder for you to do because you actually do a Sixer podcast.
Yes.
So you actually have to watch these games.
Watch them and then talk about them right
afterwards. And then talk about them right afterwards. Yeah. So you can't necessarily take the formula that I use, which is I watch when I feel like watching. I can check in. If it's a good game, I'll stick with it. You know, I can look and see what Embiid had done. Okay, Embiid played. That's all I need to know is he played. Then I'll see, okay, how effective was he, right? And so the more that I see that he's playing and that they're winning, I'm just like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
It's a nice little treat.
Yeah.
Nice little treat.
Yeah. But I'm with you, though. It's
and we have,
just keep building. Just keep building.
It feels like they're figuring it out.
Just keep building.
And you got to stop it.
But he's
no, you got to stop it.
But he's not doing his Joel nonsense. He's okay being like the third option.
Well,
second option. PG's filling
his role.
He's
not demanding the ball. Yeah.
Dude, PG's scoring when they need him to score.
He's got it.
Edgecombe is shutting down Jalen Brunson, playing with a little energy, blocking shots, hitting big clutch threes. Guy's a winner.
Well, Edgecombe
reminds me of one.
Edgecombe is awesome. I mean, for him to get better at the things that he's not good at, he had two questions coming in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He had his handle and his shot. The
handle's still in progress.
Handle's in progress.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
going to be a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the shot, looks pure. Now, he will – you know how he's shooting it? He is shooting it like a guy – who they helped rebuild his shot, and he's thinking about it the right way every time. That's why it's taken a while, right? He's making sure he's square. Mm-hmm. He's making sure his elbow is where it should be. But he's shooting 39% from three on six shots a game.
And the best thing is he doesn't look like he's forcing the offense.
No.
He doesn't have any issues with getting the ball off the glass, you know, getting the sort of hustle points. Right?
Yep.
If somebody drives and kicks it out to him, he's not afraid to shoot it. He's playing within that framework, and he's doing a lot of the little Energizer Bunny stuff that you need from a player that's young as he is with the type of legs that he has because he's young, he's athletic. He can do all those things for you. I'm actually more concerned with Embiid and Paul fitting in around what they're doing. Because I wonder, like, I was always afraid, do they get frustrated because they're vets? They want the offense to sort of go through them. And does that take away from everybody else?
Well, the question with Embiid is, like, he's letting them do it now.
Yeah.
The last few games. The question with him is, as these guys get talked about more and more.
Is he okay with that?
Are you all right with that?
Yeah.
Are you all right with somebody else getting shine, like they're going to get shine? But, Edgecombe, you said it. I mean, he's doing all the things you expected him to do. We expect him to be an energy guy, you know, rebound well for a guard, play defense. But he's added in the other stuff.
Yep.
He looks like he could be a real player. And he's doing it. He's doing it on a team that's winning basketball games, which most times when you see rookies that are averaging like 17, 6, and 5, it's for
a bad team. Yep.
And I give credit, 100% credit, to Tyrese Maxey. Because Tyrese Maxey reaching out to him in the offseason, working out with him in the offseason, let him know, like, there is an order of operations here. Like, I'm going to take you under my wing. But I'm the guy. You're the guy that needs to fit in. And I think he looks at Maxey as a vet and as a leader and those sorts of things.
And the face of the franchise.
And that is one thing that they have never had. Even being good, Embiid has never been a leader, has never been the guy to take the young guy under his wing. Now, he has a good relationship with Maxey, but it's hard when you're not a vocal guy, when you're spending the whole offseason rehabbing from injuries instead of playing basketball.
Yeah.
You know, And Maxey, I don't want to leave this out. He is so much better than I ever dreamed he could be. I mean, he gets better every year. Every time he shoots a three, I expect it's going to go in.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and he's become a good defensive player.
Yeah.
At his size, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Sounds like you're starting to believe.
No, I'm not believing.
Well, the other thing that Embiid has to continue to do is allow Maxey to lead this team.
Yes.
If you're not comfortable doing it, and you've shown that in the past, allow Maxey's personality, that smile, to continue to be infectious. The fact that he's younger, he's more relatable to these young guys on the team, and he's more willing to do the other stuff, go out to dinner with the guys, hang with them on the road, sort of be that guy. That is going to keep the locker room atmosphere where it needs to be, which is not focused on Joel Embiid and his mood swings.
Yes.
And that's where my biggest thing for Joel is, let Maxey continue to do that. You'll continue to get stronger and better, going at the slow pace, that's meaning that not forcing it or rushing it. And then guess what? You're going to look up in April. You're going to probably feel better than you ever have in your career, at least in a long time. And your guys are going to have a good basketball team that can actually do something once you get there. But you got to let this thing continue to evolve the way that it is. And he's just getting better. I'm watching Embiid. He's still the second best player on the team.
I mean, he's still
he just is.
Yeah.
And any night he can be the best player
best
on the
player
team.
On the
any night
I was going to say
the best
that.
Player
like,
on the team.
As good as Maxey is, like Embiid,
he's still the guy.
He's the key to them winning.
Doing anything significant. Yes, I totally agree. And he has to be okay with letting them handle it now.
Yes.
And just get stronger and everything else so that you can have that 2-month run at the end of the year.
Yeah, and the other guys that they were able to pick up, Barlow's been awesome.
That's good young guys.
That's a two-way guy that's starting. Jabari Walker has been a good backup power forward. And even Bona.
I like Bona.
They have these lineups with Embiid and Bona at the same time. It looks like the court is half the size because the other team doesn't have anywhere to go because you have these, you know, a 6'9 guy and a 7-footer that are both, you know, patrolling the paint. I don't know. It has been
good
fun
stuff.
I've been trying to – you mentioned the podcast. What we do is we have 25 minutes of talking about how good it is, and then we both remind each other. But this is just a nice little treat right now. We're not going to expect
it's
it
not
to
easy.
Keep going.
Because you got, like I said, you got to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know it can't be easy to not pay attention to it.
And we're getting in a rhythm betting them, too. Yeah, we are.
But see, you get all this, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to lose the friggin' Nuggets without Jokic tonight. I can smell it.
Nah, not this team. Not all this year.
Okay. See, you're going to be the guy that I have to fight for.
Yeah, he's the guy, yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
You're not going to do your little Jack thing with the Sixers where you become the leader of positivity.
Right.
No.
Positive Jack?
I know your little Jack thing.
Positive Jack?
I know this thing that you
do. Quentin Grimes plus 800 or four threes the other night? Come on, man.
All right.
in Dallas. It's a revenge spot.
You also bet on Deuce McBride. Don't
all every night.
Okay,
he's right. Never misses a shot against the Sixers.
Not five, against the Sixers.
Five
yeah.
threes, like plus 950.
215-592-9494. Ron in Bristol. You're on WIP.
I'm
what's
so
up, Ron?
Distraught with gambling. Don't even talk.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't won a bet since August.
Yeah, exactly.
Ron, you're on WIP. This is a buzz issue.
Buzz.
I can see when he's checking on people and when he's not.
Ron.
Ron, are you having a mute?
Wow.
Buzz, pop up for a second.
Yeah.
When was the last time you checked in on
I have not checked once today.
There you go.
Oh!
Look at
the honesty hour here on WIP.
New year, new honesty.
So busy talking down to everybody on Twitter about what they should expect.
Yeah, seriously.
Here's the adult in the room freaking Buzz.
Yeah, where's Holier Than Thou Buzz, which is coming out on Twitter. He hosts one show with Rube on Saturday, starting to feel a little cocky.
Yeah, in fact, we heard from Rube. Rube doesn't ever want to host with you again. That's what he said.
It's not what he said.
215-590. He might have said that.
He might have said that.
Yeah. Bruce in D.C. You're on WIP. What's up for you, Bruce?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing today? I'm not doing any howling because I'm pissed off right now.
Okay. All right. All right.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Little howl.
Okay.
Little whimper.
But no, I mean, Spike. The way you open the show. My goodness. I'm just 100% with you on how this whole thing was handled. You know, I mean, it's one thing to, okay, you're going to go with the starters or you're going to go with the bench and just basically just poorly manage this game. And I'm not going to go about, you know, getting away with the number two seed, which is exactly what's happened here. But they had a chance to win this game. And here's my concern going forward. Okay, is game management. Okay, you set basically Tanner up for failure. I've never been really one of those people on the Tanner bandwagon as far as Jalen, but you didn't give him the proper talent out there to succeed. So that's probably one of the problems that we saw. But when he was able to move the ball, I want to know whose decision it was to sit Tank Bigsby. You know, if you would have kept him in the fourth quarter, I think they could have won that game. And this is a microcosm of what has been going on all year long between our OC and Sirianni. It's not only just play calling, but how you manage your personnel and put them in positions it's going to help the team succeed. And I'm not worried about San Francisco going forward, but it's what is going to happen after that. And unless they come out with something dramatically different on the offense, in this next week, it's going to be hard. I'm just going to be hard pressed to really believe that they're going to walk into Chicago and win this game. And that's really my biggest take on what I've seen so far.
Yeah, or Bruce, Green Bay walks into Chicago and beats them, and we get the Rams here next week.
Yeah.
And that's probably even a taller order.
Certainly a better team. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just think that we, again, we made this playoff run harder than we've given ourselves a more difficult path in going forward. But you know what? I'm going to try to be the eternal optimist and say hopefully they got something up their sleeve. I'll tell you one thing that they better do. They better use the tank more in the offense. They have to do that. They have to do that, and Jalen has to use his legs more. The only positive thing I've seen in these last few games is that they cut down on their penalties, and that's really been a good thing. So they solved their problem. But everything else, we're just going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see what happens.
I'd be shocked if Tank gets more than four carries.
Totally shocked. Yeah, thank you for the call, Bruce. He didn't look good.
I mean, yes, we've been calling for him to get the ball for weeks, and the Eagles haven't done that. And so that lets you know that he's not all of a sudden about to be a big part of the offense.
Do you think they maybe pulled him because they didn't want him to get hurt? Is that possible?
It's the only thing I could think of.
Or they knew that me and Ike had him plus 1,500 for two touchdowns.
You are out of control right now.
You are out of control.
They knew.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand in a game where you see the scoreboard.
Yeah.
You literally see what the Lions are, is that the Lions are winning that game.
Yeah.
How do you not keep Tank Bigsby as one of the guys that was playing as a backup in the game? I just don't know. I don't know what they were thinking in that situation. I certainly was like, where the hell is Tank Bigsby at? Man, I haven't seen him since the third quarter.
There's no way they didn't want to play Green Bay.
Right?
Right. I'm just trying to think of what the motivation would be.
I agree, man. I don't know. That was a strange one. Just like not running the ball on third and one in the first half. They didn't do it then. I'm like, okay, they ain't do the tush push. We done gave up on that now. We don't even do the tush push.
We even do a sneak.
Yeah.
What happened to just being able to do a regular?
So then, for me, I wouldn't have even gone for it on fourth down. I would have just took the three.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you got to win this game. This is not a time to be messing around. And even then, you saw Detroit was leading Chicago. They went from 3-0, 6-0, to 13-0.
Yeah.
To 16-0. So you saw all of that for three quarters, and then Chicago started coming back.
They played the game like it was a preseason game, and
yes,
it didn't matter.
And I couldn't believe that.
It mattered. I'm sorry. Having the 2 seed rather than the 3 seed, it just matters. I it's insane to think that it doesn't matter. Tank did have probably my favorite block of the year. I don't know if it's holding or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he catches the guy.
Bobby Wagner.
Lifts him into the air and then power slams him to prevent him from hitting Tanner McKee.
So he was out there for that.
Yeah, but I don't remember
that was the third quarter.
That was the third quarter.
Because they were going the other way at the end of the game.
So was Bigsby not in the game in the fourth, or was he just not running the ball? I don't remember.
I haven't rewatched it, but it felt like he wasn't even out there. I saw a lot more of Shipley in that fourth quarter.
It became difficult for me to watch the game at a certain point. because I start the way that I watch games now is I think to myself, well, what am I going to talk about? I think to myself, well, I'm not going to talk about this game that much. And it was a horrible game, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was all a blur.
But it became more intense.
Well, it became important.
When it looked like the Lions were going to win the
game. And it felt like Tanner felt the intensity rise, too.
Yes, he did. Tanner choked.
Dude, Tanner looked at the scoreboard and was like, oh, crap.
Oh, God, I got to go win this game.
I got to lead the team down the field. What?
Yeah.
That's not what I do. That was a concerning moment.
Somebody get my clipboard.
I got to talk to Ike and Hugh. Ellie, the players lounge tomorrow.
Well, listen, we had people on Twitter talking about put Devontae back in the game.
Well, people want the starters back in the second half.
Yeah, not just back in.
They were never in.
McManus asked Sirianni about it after the game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did you consider it? You can't put guys
in the game.
There's no way.
Yeah. They didn't even warm up.
Yeah.
What are you crazy?
No way.
Oh, could you imagine that?
Can you imagine
that? It would have been the greatest day in WIP history.
That's about a cluster bleep. I mean, that's what that is.
They put all the starters in?
Yeah.
Put on your helmets?
It's actually worse than the Washington debacle in 2020.
That's what I thought about. That would have been worse than that.
Dude, they pulled Jalen in the fourth quarter at the lead.
Oh, the one that we gave up.
Doug refused to pull him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, he clearly could have just did it at halftime. And been done with it.
Yep.
And you know how we were sitting there.
Kept him out there and just like, hold on. Are we trying to win this game?
They're texting him.
Yes.
Yeah. The phone's unplugged on the sidelines.
Somebody's throwing the banana peels in front of Howie as he's trying to get to the field to tell Doug to pull him.
Get him. And then they pulled him and lost.
Right.
And the Giants will never forget it.
And the Giants will never forgive us for that.
Yep.
Remember that, Tom Coughlin?
That was Joe Judge, right?
Yeah, it was Judge.
Oh, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. Joe Judge. Yeah, yeah. Joe
man,
Judge.
What a clown that guy was.
Oh, total man. Clown. Yeah.
Remember he had the coaches running laps?
Yeah. Of course. Do you remember? He ran like, he went for it on like fourth and one on their 10-yard line.
On their own 10?
Yeah. It was crazy. And he screwed up he's a college coach now. He screwed up one of the games this weekend.
They've had some coaches. Yeah. They've had some coaches in New York.
Remember Ole Miss before halftime? It ran out of time?
No.
Because they didn't manage it well at all?
It was him.
It was all Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is he, the OC?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had Gase. It was a disaster.
Adam
the Jets.
Well, the Jets.
Definitely
Jets.
Was
yeah.
A disaster.
But just New York.
Well, McAdoo. I mean, going from
Gase had the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they at least had Rex Ryan and Coughlin. There was some stability.
Yeah, but then
and
it's
then
been a disaster.
McAdoo.
Well, they should fire Aaron Glenn. They should fire him right now. 215-592-9494.
You're a DB. And
do you have one interception?
It's unbelievable.
All right. 215-592-9494. Top 5 at 5 is coming up next.
Blame. Accountability.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, the wild card round is here, and FanDuel is turning on playoff mode. All customers get a profit boost pack every NFL game day. Each game day during the wild card round, you'll find a pack loaded with multiple profit boosts waiting for you in the app. Pick the matchups you believe in. I got a couple I like this weekend. I'll tell you what, that Jacksonville-Buffalo game, I think I might like Jacksonville in that game at home. I definitely like the Texans over Pittsburgh. Give me the Eagles over the Niners. And who else do we have? I don't worry. I'll give you the rest of the games as we get through the week. Now, take your shot on an upset or build a parlay that fits the moment. Then apply your profit boost and go after even bigger payouts while the playoffs get rolling. So, visit FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and grab your profit boost pack every NFL playoff game day.